Last Sunday, March 1, 2020, the annual meeting of Peaceworks Kansas City included a reenactment of portions of a trial last November 1 of 15 of their supporters for trespassing on the Kansas City National Security Campus, which makes or procures 85% of the parts used in U.S. nuclear weapons. The defendants and their defense attorney Henry Stover played themselves. Saj Kaya played prosecuting attorney Brianna Zavadil. Tammy Brown played the judge Martina Peterson. You will next hear the opening statement by defense attorney Stover, followed by selections of the trial.
Judge Peterson, it would be a grave injustice to treat this as a simple trespass. It would be false, it would be misleading to ignore the context in which these defendants acted. Underpinning our laws, our Constitution, is a demand for justice. St. Augustine said, in effect, what are kingdoms and governments without justice? They are just gangs of bandits.
Yeah.
The defendants will say that these nuclear weapons trespass every moment onto our lives, our future. These weapons of mass destruction do not provide security. They fuel the arms race. It is a death spiral, and defendants acted in the spirit of the law. So defense calls first witness Jim Hanna. What led you to this act of civil disobedience?
Well, I consider myself a nuclear abolitionist in the same way that some of my family were slavery abolitionists. My heritage includes a great-grandfather who was a Quaker minister in the little town or village, really, of Salem, Iowa, about 500 people, but very active in the Underground Railroad. Actually, they called it kind of the Grand Central Station of the Underground Railroad at some times because they were so active in that. Part of my family lore is a story about one evening some of our family members were sitting at the dinner table and they heard a knock on the back door. They went to the door and there was a runaway slave there, a young man who had an infant daughter. And he said, you know, I'm going north, but I don't believe I'm going to be able to make it if I have my daughter with me. And so would you be able to take my daughter? And they did. Mm-hmm. And they raised her to adulthood, amazingly, you know, in defiance of the laws of that particular day. So I consider myself a nuclear abolitionist in the same way that some of my family members were slavery abolitionists. And I think it's just as important to be on the right side of the law as that time.
Do you have anything else you would like to say to the judge?
Well, I'm really concerned about the way in which we consider this to be a trespass, like I'm trespassing somehow crossing this property boundary, but really, to me, the great trespass is a deal where you have maybe 80,000, the equivalent of 80,000 Hiroshimas that we're spending close to $1 billion a year, and we have several thousand people who are involved in doing this. So to me, the great trespass is really not on the side of the property line where I was, but the great trespass was on the other side of the property line.
And you are also doing this to affirm life.
That's right. I believe in the invitation to celebrate life, not to destroy life. And in the book of Deuteronomy, it says, I set before you this day life and death. Mm-hmm. Choose life. And that's what I feel I'm trying to do.
Did you see signs saying no trespassing?
No, I didn't see any signs.
Did you see the purple line?
I did.
Did you recognize it as the property line and that you trespassed?
I did. But I decided that because of what I've already said about the greater trespasses on the other side of the line, I felt like I was trying to affirm life and defy death.
Go!
The defense next calls Ian Swellentrop as a witness. Would you tell a little bit about yourself and May 27th?
I'm Ann Solentroff, follower of the Catholic Worker, and I've been a student of nonviolence my entire adult life. I've been a pediatric nurse in Kansas City since 1975, and I have worked at Advent Health, Shawnee Mission Medical Center with mothers and newborn babies since 2001. In 2018 in Germany, I protested U.S. nuclear weapons stationed at Buchel Air Force Base through NATO. About 20 U.S. nuclear weapons are there. We broke into the base to protest those nuclear weapons.
Are you involved in ICANN, the international campaign to abolish nuclear weapons?
Objection.
Well, 33 countries have signed the ICANN treaty. And once we reach 50 countries that ratify it, it becomes international law.
Accepted. But this discussion deals with things so far away. Bring it back closer to home, to the Kansas City area.
Mm-hmm. I am involved with the ICANN movement. In July 2017, the non-nuclear nations of the world decided that the NPT, the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, was not getting rid of nuclear weapons as it was supposed to do. So 122 countries voted for the new UN Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, also known for short, BAN Treaty. With 33 signatories at this point, we are two-thirds of the way there.
So why, on May 27th, did you go that one-mile walk and go to the do the entry at the new plant?
I have a passion for children and babies. This is a group particularly vulnerable to toxins. Besides, I wanted to gum up the works. Many people don't pay attention to our visits to Congress, our letters to the editors, etc. I must stand up for the world's mothers, babies, and children. As I said, I wanted to gum up the works.
Your defendant's next call, Christian brother Lewis Rodeman. Brother Lewis, share with the court who you are and why you are here in court today.
Yes. My name is Lewis Rodeman. I'm a member of a group of religious in the Catholic Church called De La Salle Christian Brothers. It is the charism or the trademark of our group that we work with the poor. For almost all my adult life, I've either taught, worked with, been with in advocating for, or lived with the poor. Back in 1945, the U.S. dropped nuclear weapons on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But nuclear scientists at that point devised a symbol called a nuclear clock. Basically what that was to give some indication of what kind of crisis or tension was going on at the region at the time, and measure what the likelihood of a nuclear weapon being dropped. And they were said that it would then the clock, as was mentioned earlier, was so many minutes to midnight. 8 months ago, this clock was 2 minutes to midnight. And as Henry just said, now it is 90 seconds to midnight.
Does this affect other persons?
Very much so. It's my proposition that the poor, millions of them in our country and hundreds of millions of them around the world, are already paying the price by their lack of resources to live a decent life. And this is all incurred by the buildup and the expenditure of nuclear weapons.
Now, Dwight Eisenhower had a phrase about military-industrial complex. Is that
yes, correct? In fact, I was just going to quote from
objection.
That.
Objection.
I'll allow it to be read, if that is the reason leading you to do what you did.
So I'll offer just a couple of sentences from a speech that Dwight Eisenhower made, and he said, "Every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket fired, signifies in the final sense a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, those who are cold and are not clothed. This world in arms is not spending money alone. It is spending the wet sweat of its laborers, the genius of its scientists, the hopes of its children."
Right. Defense now calls Spencer Graves. Spencer, please tell the court about your background and why you're here today.
So I have a PhD in statistics, and I've studied the long-term impact of alternative approaches to conflict. In particular, I've been especially interested by Daniel Ellsberg's 2017 book, The Doomsday Machine.
Objection.
Overruled.
Spencer, were your beliefs affected by the Ellsberg book?
Absolutely. Ellsberg was a nuclear war planner for U.S. presidents Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, and Nixon. He was inside the Pentagon during the Cuban Missile Crisis, writing position papers to Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara on how to handle that crisis. He says the world is lucky that that crisis did not end in nuclear war. If it had, it likely would have lofted so much soot into the stratosphere, it would have created a nuclear winter lasting years, during which 98% of humanity would starve to death if they did not die of something else sooner.
Oh my God.
My research says that the single greatest threat to the national security of the United States and every other nation on the planet is the U.S. nuclear arsenal.
At that campus site on May 27, did you hear the warnings not to cross the purple line?
I did.
Did you cross the line?
I did.
The municipal statute against trespass used the words unlawful. Can you comment on that?
Certainly. If you break into a house that is on fire and carry someone out who would otherwise have died, you cannot be convicted of trespass.
Has a nuclear war already started?
Every U.S. president since Harry Truman has overtly or covertly threatened the use of nuclear weapons.
The defense called Jordan Sonny Henry to the stand. Sonny, please give the court some background of you as to what you led you to cross the purple line at the National Security Campus on May 27.
I'm Jordan Hamrick. Everyone calls me Sonny. I live in an intentional community called Jerusalem Farm in Kansas City, where we live and serve alongside people who are in need in our area through home repair and providing food as well as relationships. I've witnessed how people have great needs and how everything we do with weapons takes away from those needs.
Do you recall your activities on May 27th before crossing the line?
Before crossing the line, I sang the song called Eve of Destruction with a guitar, wailing it out loud, and then I offered a loaf of bread to be broken with the security and the police officers as a sign of peace and sharing.
And do you recall the warning a guard at the National Security Campus gave you?
Yes, Officer Williams, in his warning, mentioned that the guards were there for protection. I interrupted him to ask who and what was being protected. In reality, he was there to protect the facility, not the people.
Did the officers accept the bread?
No, they did not accept the bread, but we passed it across the line and all of our supporters broke it together.
Is there a sense in which these weapons are illegal because the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty says we shall seek to eliminate nuclear weapons?
Yes, absolutely. The weapons in themselves are illegal, and the line around the facility represents the law, as Daniel Berrigan once said. And if we choose not to cross that line, we choose not to go against how the law represents what is normal and moral in our society. And so as long as that line is there around the facility, we need to cross that line, just as people sat at lunch counters in the South, just as people have had so many movements, which all, for the most part in this world, have been labeled as illegal. So we must do these illegal acts to spread peace in our communities.
And were these actions nonviolent?
We came only tooled with courage and yeast of the bread.
Share the bread.
You are listening to a reenactment of a trial last November 1 of 15 supporters of Peaceworks Kansas City for trespassing on the Kansas City National Security Campus, which makes or procures 85% of the parts used in U.S. nuclear weapons.
Defendant next calls Joseph Wan. Joseph, you and three other persons live at Jerusalem Farm. Could you speak to the court about your background?
My name is Joseph Wan. I live in an intentional community at Jerusalem Farm. We What are you, home repair for neighbors, low wealth, and live in substandard housing. Also manage our composting organization, or composting work, caring for the earth and creation. And I, part of my formation in nonviolence, been through the work of Physicians for Social Responsibility, as well as a personal visit to Hiroshima 2011, to the Peace Park there, just immersing in that place of such immense suffering, as well as a redemptive possibility, was utterly moving and unforgettable for me, what motivated my actions.
Now, do you recall what you may have said on May 27, before crossing the line?
I do. I wrote a poem by a Chilean, Pablo Neruda, called Keeping Quiet. It's a poem that speaks of people putting down their weapons and stopping to prepare wars with no victories or survivors, and walking towards a world without war and its weapons.
There is a quote by Joan Chittister, Benedictine nun: "The greatest war we are facing at the present time is a war within ourselves. Shall we destroy the planet or shall we defend it?" Joseph, do you believe a nuclear war has already begun?
It began the moment the first bomb was detonated on this continent. It keeps going, but it can be stopped.
Agreed!
Thank you. The defendant's next call, Daniel Kara. Daniel, please explain your background and why you decided to cross the line that particular day.
I'm Daniel Karam, a student of philosophy and ministry. I spent 2 years in Washington, D.C. in the late 1980s in close association with Peace Park across from the White House, demonstrating there. I was in Washington in 1993 while an initiative, Proposition 1, was circulated by proponents of Peace Park and people from the Rainbow Gathering, calling for the transformation of wartime industry into peaceful projects. The proposition was approved by the voters of Washington, D.C., and has been submitted by Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton to the U.S. House of Representatives year after year since 1993.
And have you attended vigils and rallies at the old Bannister complex and also at the new plant, the National Security Campus?
Yes, repeatedly. And the new plant is about a mile from my home in Grandview.
It's in our backyard, too.
Defendant's next call, Bennett Dibbins. Bennett, please explain your background and why you are a defendant.
I've been an activist, so I've marched against Monsanto because of the chemicals that they make. And I also helped with the Native Americans up in North Dakota. I didn't go all the way up to North Dakota, but I did go to Iowa and supported protesters that tried to keep the that whole pipeline from going through. And I also talked to my Senator Roy Blunt in Washington, D.C. to ask him to stop the proliferation of nuclear weapons. And also, people remember on June 13th, 2019, there was an emergency alert in Hawaii saying ballistic missiles threat inbound to Hawaii seeking immediate shelter. This is not a drill. This went on for 38 minutes, triggering panic and anger. And on that, if missiles take flight, we will all become peace activists, but it will be too late. Mm-hmm.
So, Bennett, you're somewhat inspired by a fellow peace activist. Can you say something?
Yes, her name is Lou Martinet. And when she was across the purple line a year ago, May, she said she was like a dandelion. And when she crossed the purple line, she said,
It's a dandelion. Hear me roar. No more nukes.
No more nukes. No more nukes.
And do you hope for us to be more like an irritating weed?
That's what I think. I'll be more like an irritating weed. Woo!
Ron Faust. Ron, please talk about who you are and what brings you to this trial today.
Well, I'm Ron Faust, and I'm a retired Christian Church Disciples of Christ minister. And when I was doing a doctorate at Drew University in Madison, New Jersey, I did an intense study on the exegesis of peace and discern how peace sweeps across biblical data. It's very central to the whole message if one reads it right. One of the things that has to happen is that this tension between spirit and form, or a way of looking at a kind of legalism and a way to be more flexible with our lives, to take out the rigidity of life, of our personal life itself. And so seeing beyond the spirit, one begins to see that the law of love then is a way of connecting to peace. There's a higher law, a law of love, and it would have been inappropriate for me not to have crossed the line.
Defense calls Georgia Walker. Georgia, please tell us a little bit about yourself and why you've come to this courtroom.
I'm Georgia Walker. I'm a sociologist by training. I'm an ordained priest under the International Association of Roman Catholic Women Priests. And I'm the executive director of Journey to New Life, an agency that serves 2,000 men and women who come out of prison each year to the Kansas City area.
Can you tell us about your citation that you received?
I have it right here. This is incredible. I was the first one that crossed the line, and the woman who charged me was pretty nervous about it. And she wrote out this citation that says that I'm being cited for trespassing in a cemetery and knowingly remaining there. Well, actually, right before crossing the line, there was a die-in where we had read the names of people who worked for Honeywell and had died because of the toxins there. And so we would read their names and say how they died, and then we'd fall to the ground. So it was like maybe on her mind, maybe we put that there for her. It's not a cemetery yet. However, what they're doing in that plant could lead to massive cemeteries.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. For real?
Terrible.
Well, wow. To tell you the truth, this is political for me, but also personal. Two of my aunts work for the IRS, and the Honeywell company that now runs the new plant, at the old plant, they rented to the IRS a building which they certified to the IRS was free of toxic materials. Well, in fact, it was not free of toxic materials. Two of my aunts and many of their coworkers died of cancers. And so this is a company that has a history of disregard for human life, disregard for their own workers, and I pray for the workers now at the new plant. God only knows what might be happening to them. And I'm thinking, you have me on trial? You have us on trial?
Yes.
Who do no damage to anyone and are peacefully protesting? I think that we are created, all of us are created with a divine spark in our soul. And some people call that your heart, your soul, your conscience. I believe that all of us were following our conscience, and that that is the reason that we crossed the line.
Objection.
I'll let her talk about conscience, but in a limited way.
Well, it's hard to limit God. But Mahatma Gandhi argued, there is a higher court of justice, and that is the court of conscience. It supersedes all other courts.
In my closing statement, I assert all of civilization has already been convicted to death by this nuclear arms race with no let-up. With further modernization and threats, we all are under a death watch, awaiting the execution of persons on Earth. Nuclear war has already begun with the planning, the making, the deployment of these weapons of mass destruction. Conscience must take that one small step forward. One of my favorite pieces of artwork is Rodin's The Burghers of Calais, a French city which is just across from Dover, England. And King John was intent to cross the channel and destroy Calais and its inhabitants. And Calais city leaders, six of them, with ropes around their necks, ropes around their bodies, went out to meet King John. And so they were pleading for the city to take heart, to save their lives, to spare the inhabitants. And that is precisely what happened on May 27th. 17 line crossers placed their body in jeopardy. They sounded the alarm, they confronted the evil, they acted for a higher good than merely a trespass according to a city ordinance. They hope to touch our hearts, our minds, our souls, our morals, our ethics, so that we save ourselves from ourselves.
Your Honor, the defendants have all admitted they trespassed May 27th. There were verbal warnings and signs saying no trespassing. Concerning the claim of necessity, that does not apply here. The Supreme Court said, quote unquote, necessity is based on a real emergency. The Supreme Court said that for nuclear waste sites, courts do not allow claims of necessity for trespass.
Defendants, I applaud you, but I have to follow the directions of the laws. I have to treat everybody the same. I respect that sometimes an agency is not lawful. But I have to treat everybody the same. I can't allow one group to trespass and not another. I'm going to assign guilt for the trespass. Those with prior convictions, community service, some with 50 hours of service, and you must have to stay off the property for 1 year. All will be assigned $80 community service supervision for costs. You can ask that to be waived. Plus $168.50 for municipal court fees for 1 year of probation costs. You can pay the $160.50 in installments. You have suspended imposition of sentence with nothing on your record if you do the community service and pay the fines. Court is dismissed.
You have been listening to a reenactment of a trial last November 1 of 15 supporters of Peaceworks Kansas City for trespassing on the Kansas City National Security Campus, which makes or produces 85% of the parts used in U.S. nuclear weapons. More information on this trial, with links to other resources, is available in the description of this episode of Radioactive Magazine at kkfi.org.